Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Circus is on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Mr. Schwann, good morning to you.
Hey, there you are, Dave. Good morning.
How you doing, pal?
Good.
On a Sunday morning. What a beautiful, what was it like when you got in here? About 50, 60 degrees?
About 60. It was very comfortable. I love this time of
Me
year.
Too.
It just gets cooler. And Roger and I were talking a little while ago about how he was taking his dog out yesterday and just photographing things, you know, the light being what it is this time of year and the warmth of the sun and cooler air mixing. It's a great feeling.
It is. It was a great day for soccer. We had three soccer games yesterday
three.
That we went to. Three. All three kids are in soccer.
Oh, boy.
But here's the thing. You know, my Josh had his homecoming last night, and we got outside at about, I don't know, a little bit before 7 o'clock to take pictures, and the sun was dropping. It was dark.
Oh,
at
yeah.
7 o'clock, I can't take it.
Yeah, well, you look at sunset these days. It's around 7:30.
Yeah.
That's and crazy. We don't really see the sun until about 6:30 now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will continue to be the case
here
for another 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And it won't be long. We will be setting the clocks back.
I know. Beginning of November,
yep.
As always.
Yes,
a short
sir.
Show for me. That's what I always think about.
Yeah.
In my show at 2 o'clock
and
becomes
an extra
three.
Hour of sleep.
Yes. Desperately needed. Well, you know, a lot of news today. We were just talking about Monty Hall passing away
yeah.
in 96. Hugh Hefner, who
yeah,
created
right,
Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, Chicago-based Playboy magazine spun it into a... Really, just beyond that magazine, media and entertainment industry giant, and sometimes, you know, obviously squiring these young, attractive women and sometimes marrying them.
sometimes marrying them.
Died Wednesday at the Playboy Mansion. I know he had, at 91, he had an agreement. He sold, I believe, the Playboy Mansion, but he had an agreement to stay there until his passing.
The one here? No, the one in L.A.
Yeah, the one in California.
Yeah.
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 Now, he had two TV series. I found this kind of fascinating because I knew about one of them, Playboy After Dark. We'll talk about that in a second. But Playboy Penthouse was on in 1959 for two seasons. It was syndicated, and it was recorded at ABC 7. At the time, it wasn't WLS. I think it was called WBKB back then, but it was... Playmates.
Yeah, it was WBKB before LS around 1967. They made the change.
I was on State Street, and but then they actually did something. Let's see here. He was unable to. No, he actually did it at McClure Court at WBBM, although it aired on ABC in Chicago.
Okay.
So he did it at the old barn over there. And so, you know, this was a show that was pretty. Legendary way back then. It was kind of like hanging out in Hef's living room. Let's take a little listen to a clip from Playboy's Penthouse.
I was kind of rude with those.
It was Lenny Bruce was a guest. Lenny Bruce.
I wonder if I can have a drink.
This is a kind of an interesting party. You know, I first figured it would be like sort of a TV... You know, typical fake party, you know. But it's got a good party feeling to it with some pretty chicks, which is a good composite here.
Well, the girls, and we and serve real liquor, and it does the trick.
You think you'll get any objection, drinking on the show? I don't think I've ever seen that on the show. Do you think that'll
be objection? We'll find out. We hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. Because
that's the extent of the show, I guess.
I would hope so.
Yeah, they were just hanging out. And that was the first episode, which is pretty wild.
And Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce and his mom.
Lenny Bruce and his mom.
In Playboy Penthouse, yeah. Pretty crazy. And then they did this Playboy After Dark, which I know you're probably a little more familiar with. It was taped at CBS Television City in Hollywood. It was, again, first-run syndication, 2 years on the air. But it had, this was a lot of who's who, Barbie Benton at the time, Joe Cocker, Ike and Tina Turner, Sammy Davis Jr., Buddy Rich, The Grateful Dead, Moms Mabley, Deep Purple, Fleetwood Mac, Three Dog Night, James Brown, Linda Ronstadt, Jack Jones, some pretty cool
it's
stuff.
Quite a mix of entertainers.
Yeah, and I believe this is, and we think about now what's going on with Bill Cosby in the upcoming trial again. Here's a clip of Playboy After Dark with Bill Cosby and Sammy Davis Jr. Let's take a listen.
How come with all these ladies here?
Why am I talking to you?
No,
wait. I just wanted to ask Sam, since you're one of our great singers of our times, would you sing a song for Robert Culp and his wife? We prefer to hear Because.
Because it is a request.
You know the song Because.
Is this a request or
this
a demand?
Is a request. No, since you used to sing at funerals, we feel that you should cut it. Sing it like it is.
Now, I tell you what. If we're going to do one for Bob and
Franz,
then shall we do a good ballad? Hey, Al, let's do the Dick Hames number. Can I just tell you that this is for a very dear couple, very dear friends, Franz and Bob Culp. And if he could sing, Franz, he'd do it for you, but he can't. The more I see you, the more I want you.
Pretty cool. Just kind of it's like being in a nightclub, but it was literally, they built this set, but
isn't that great?
Yeah.
Well, there's a singer, Sammy Davis Jr. What a brilliant, brilliantly talented person.
Yeah. I know. I just want to listen to the song.
Who gets the espresso?
Oh, there's Jerry Lewis walking in. I mean, literally, it was just, was it Jerry Lewis, right, Camille? Yeah, it's just random. How hysterical is that? Just walked in and then did a pratfall.
In the middle of an intimate song like that. We should remind people Robert Culp was Bill Cosby's co-star in I Spy.
I Spy, yeah. Very funny. Talked to Jenny McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy talked about Hugh Hefner. And really, what Playboy did for her career.
To be part of his family. And when I say family, it really truly was that for me, and I think for a lot of girls. A lot of girls from broken homes, not necessarily mine. Mine was actually proudly wonderful. But he would take good care of those girls in such a sentimental way, which is why every girl pretty much, if they're interviewed about his passing, will say probably the exact same things as me, which is he was the most good-hearted, caring, generous, supportive friend, mentor, and his zest for life was contagious. When I heard the news, I sat there for a moment and didn't think I was going to burst into tears, but I literally burst into tears, and I don't want to do it right now. You might have to save me. And it all comes from, there's always those people in your life that change the course of your life, and how many people he affected just through me alone, not talking about all the other thousands of people he's affected for just me alone, giving me the opportunity to move my parents out of a bad neighborhood into a good neighborhood, pay off their debts, pay off my college loan, move to Los Angeles so I can pursue my dream. And he was always supportive, always proud. Whenever I would see him, he would hug me and say, "You're doing such a good job." And I think one of the things that I really felt was, I really hope he did. I hope I did make him proud. To me, Playboy wasn't anything but one of the, and it might be weird for her to hear people say this, but one of the classiest organizations I had ever worked with.
And there's Jenny McCarthy, of course.
Interesting comments from her.
What that meant to her.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bunch of other cool things, Dave, this week. I'm going to get through a few little highlights here. 1849, American author Edgar Allan Poe was found delirious in a gutter in Baltimore, Maryland, under mysterious circumstances. It's the last time he is seen in public before his death. It was back in 1849. 1888, National Geographic magazine publishes for the first time. 1892, University of Chicago opened. 1903, the first baseball World Series. Do you know who was in that?
What year?
1903.
So it was pre-Cubbies. Was it the Cubs?
It was Pittsburgh Pirates versus the Boston Pilgrims. That's what it was called.
The Boston Pilgrims.
Before the Red Sox.
An appropriate name for a team in Boston, don't you think?
I would think so. 1908, Henry Ford introduces the Model T Ford. Cost of the Model T Ford?
I think it was about $500?
$825. Moving forward,
a whole year's salary for some people.
Yeah, oh, sure it was. If not much more than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1950 was the first strip of Charlie Brown, Little Folks, as it was called, later Peanuts, by Charles Schulz. It was only published in 9 papers at the time. 1955, Captain Kangaroo premiered on CBS TV. Good Morning Captain was, of course, the favorite theme. He was on until, I think, the 80s, wasn't he?
Yes, and he also did, at least for a little while, when I was about 10 or 12, there was a Saturday morning program that he did called Mr. Mayor. He was kind of at the same time? Yeah, at the same time.
Wednesday,
he did Captain Kangaroo during the week, and then on Saturdays it was a kind of a spinoff, if you will, where he was, a very portly, gentle, benign mayor of a small town, Teddy Roosevelt kind of looking person.
And it was called what again?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
And he was the mayor of the town, and I guess Mr. Green Jeans was on it too, but I just remember my cousin watched Mr. Mayor when we were growing up. So
he's one of the few national shows that lasted as long as it did.
Yeah.
In children's television.
Yeah, he did
it was
a
so
lot
local.
For children's TV, too.
He did. 1959, Rod Serling's Twilight Zone premieres on CBS TV. Now, I just watched one tonight with my daughter. It was
showed the first episode not long ago.
Oh, did they?
Where is everybody?
The Odyssey of the Flight, is it 33 or 933 or something? This is when they were flying and they were going to land and they realized that they were going to land like in 1933 or 1939 at the New York World's Fair.
Right.
It was a creepy, and then it was all of a sudden they were in the dinosaur era. It was a really, do you have a favorite episode of Twilight Zone?
Well, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Another one that I really frightened me from the first time I saw it, and still to this day it gives you chills, is the one with Bill Mumy that played on Lost in Space.
Yep.
The name of the episode escapes me, but he's a little boy with this terrifying power, and everybody is just scared to death of him.
I remember that.
Because, if he doesn't like you, he will, quote, wish you away, and you'll just vanish. You'll disappear. Or he can make you into whatever he wants to do. He's got this very, very frightening telekinetic power. His parents are afraid of him. The neighbors are afraid of him. And they're having a birthday party for a neighbor. Then they invite them all in. And the guy that has his birthday gets mad at the boy and wishes him away. It's a creepy episode. It's spooky. Yeah,
it is a creepy one.
Yeah, that's one of them. There are a number one. I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan.
To Serve Man, of course.
It's a cookbook.
And then William Shatner, the one where you saw the...
Yeah.
There's someone on the wing.
Terror at 20,000 feet or something like that. Sure, that's a classic.
Willoughby. There was something about
Stop It Willoughby.
Oh, I love Stop
That's
It Willoughby.
A beautiful one. Yeah.
Let's take a little listen to a interview I had a few years back with Rod Serling's daughter Anne about her famous father.
So CBS purchased a teleplay in 1958, so this is a little bit before The Twilight Zone began. It's something your father wrote and hoped to produce as a pilot of a weekly series. It was called The Time Element. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, The Time Element was bought by CBS, and CBS shelved it for a year. And then it was bought by, I think his name was Bert Gannett, who worked for Desilu Studios, and... because Bert was looking for good shows, and he wanted one of my dad's, and so they aired The Time Element, and I guess at the time it received more mail than any other show that Desilu Productions had aired that year.
Now, I think during this Desilu Playhouse, though, even Desi Arnaz introduced the show. I mean, they were groundbreakers at the time, Desilu Productions. I think people forget it wasn't just I Love Lucy. They had some of the hottest dramas out there, really, in the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Not many people knew that, and even you know, I didn't even realize that until I was writing my book.
Now, CBS began talks then with your dad about producing The Twilight Zone, which is kind of where things started kicking off. The pilot was called, I think, Where Is Everybody?
Right, right. He'd written something else. That I can't at the moment recall the name of. I think it was called The Happy Place. Mm-hmm. But CBS felt it was too depressing or didn't really fit what they wanted to air. And so then he wrote the other one.
His writing for the series, you know, it was always mysterious. It was always full of drama. It was sometimes at the edgier seat, sometimes a little horror. But he always splashed in a little bit of humor in there and really... When you were watching these shows, I think they were very relatable because they always somehow tied into real life.
So that was Rod Serling's daughter, Anne, on the her legendary father, Rod Serling.
What a fascinating figure. Have you ever seen some of the full-length live TV dramas that Rod Serling wrote before Twilight Zone? I'm thinking particularly of Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah. Before and after, because, I mean, he had quite a career as a dramatic writer before Twilight Zone, and then, of course, he did, I think, Night Gallery in the 70s,
right? 70s, yeah, right. But John Frankenheimer was the director of Requiem for a Heavyweight, who went on just a few years later to do The Manchurian Candidate.
Wow.
So there are tie-ins all over the place with television drama of the time, movies like Manchurian Candidate. What a time to be working
in
TV back
then.
Yeah,
it was.
Wow.
Absolutely was. Just a few other ones. 67th, Thurgood Marshall, sworn as the first black Supreme Court justice. 1975, the Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fight, the thriller in Manila. Of course, Muhammad Ali knocked out Joe Frazier. 1992, Sinead O'Connor rips up a picture of Pope John Paul II on Saturday Night Live way back then. And then 2008 was the big $700 billion bailout bill signed by President George Bush. And that's it
Gosh,
for now.
Gosh, that's going to be 10 years
that's
already,
10
Dave,
years,
next
yeah.
year.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years ago. We'll be right back.